In the holy name of Jesus, amen. It must have been quite a remarkable sight, really. The ordinary man, Jesus, who's done quite extraordinary deeds, is transfigured. He's transformed into a brilliant celestial light. His face shines like the light of day, and his clothes become so dazzling white that they too are a beacon into the darkness. In many respects, Jesus becomes, but for a moment, the new sun. The S-U-N kind, of course. Not only do all of the planets in the solar system revolve around him in this moment, but all of creation throughout time and space begins to orbit around its creator. It's all orbiting around Jesus. The sun, the moon, the stars, the creeping things, and the flying birds. And even a couple of saints of old who have died in the faith. The great prophet Elijah and the great lawgiver Moses begin to converse with their Savior. The past comes crashing in on the present. You'd think that this kind of sight would stir up an immense fear in Peter, James, and John, but they all seem incredibly content. So much so that Peter, in his awe and wonder of the orbiting things, says, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Let's pitch some tents and stay here forever. What happens next scares those three disciples right out of their own skin. A bright cloud intensifies the light, and from its midst comes a voice. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." At once, Peter, James, and John fall on their faces, and they become very, very afraid. But why exactly does this make them afraid? They weren't afraid of the Son Man, Jesus. They weren't afraid when two dead guys show up and start talking with them. They weren't even afraid when all of creation seemed to be orbiting around the Christ. What in the world scared them so much? Perhaps, in the midst of all that was happening, the disciples didn't fully realize who was standing right in front of them. Sure, they knew it was Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph and Mary, the companion they had been journeying with for quite some time. But it wasn't until they heard the voice of the Father in the cloud that they realized this Jesus was truly God in flesh among them, and that the place that they were standing was holy ground. Perhaps those blessed disciples were too preoccupied, too distracted by the created things swirling around them that they didn't fully realize it was the Creator of heaven and earth who was standing before them. Does this sound familiar? We live in an exceedingly distracted society. Every moment of every day, we are inundated with bright lights and loud noises and whirling things. We have completely lost the ability to focus on anything for more than a few seconds. I saw this in full force on Friday night when attending a concert at the Cathedral Basilica downtown. As a world-renowned music group lifted their voices to the heavens in a mosaic-adorned sacred space, the faces of concertgoers were illumined by the backlit screens of their phones. We distract ourselves with created things in order to fill the voids we have in our lives. Our hurt and pain, our sorrow and anger, our inadequacies and our not enoughness. Everything we do becomes a vain attempt at giving us a moment's reprieve from suffering. We say to ourselves, it's good to be here in this reprieve. I'm just going to pitch a tent and stay here forever. It isn't until we are confronted with the divine in full force that we are shaken out of our distractedness. It happened just a few moments ago when at the beginning of this liturgy, at the beginning of this service, a voice spoke the name of the triune God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are pressed by this name to focus in on the Creator rather than the creation whirling around us. When we are confronted by the Creator as Peter, James, and John were, we recognize our unholiness in the midst of God's holiness. Upon realizing who we're dealing with, our first reaction is to hang our heads and confess our sins. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. This kind of reaction is found all throughout Scripture. Anytime someone is confronted with the divine or the heavenly, they are filled with fear. That's why the first thing that angels say when delivering divine messages to humans is, "Don't be afraid! Don't be afraid!" The holiness of God knocks us off our feet. In his bountiful mercy, Jesus doesn't leave us in this state, though. After seeing Peter, James, and John on their faces terrified, Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And that word "rise" is the same word that's used when Jesus raises the dead and when Jesus, too, is raised from the dead. So it's as if Jesus was saying, be resurrected to new life and have no fear. In that moment, they saw no one but Jesus only. All the distractions were removed and only Jesus was left to gaze at. After confessing our sins this morning, Jesus came and said the same thing to us. Be resurrected to new life and have no fear because your sins are forgiven. The fear-instilling words of the Father transform into the life-giving words of the Son. And in just a few minutes, he'll touch us with his forgiveness again as we approach his table. The bread and the wine will be mysteriously transfigured into the crucified and resurrected body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All distractions will be removed, and only Jesus will be left to gaze at as the body is placed into your hands. Take, eat. The body of Christ. By partaking in his body, in his blood, his soul, and his divinity, we are transfigured into more of who we were always meant to be. We are made more fully human. We're reoriented back to the glory and majesty of our Creator. In just 3 days, we'll begin our Lenten journey to the cross with Jesus. We'll have ashes rubbed on our head and be reminded that we are dust, and to dust we will return. I pray that as a community we would all lean into this contemplative, solemn season and detach ourselves from those created things that distract us from our Creator. When we get to Good Friday, everything will be crucified. You, me, and Jesus, Peter, James, and John, sin, death, and the power of the devil. But on Easter Sunday, only Jesus and his beloved will be raised back to new life. Be resurrected. Have no fear. My friends will be resurrected. We will be transfigured to glorious new life with him. And that is something to celebrate. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.